In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as we now approach the end of the school year, we also bring to a close our reading and reflection upon the Small Catechism. For the past year, we've been pondering and praying the Catechism as it was designed to be done. Last week and this week, we deal with that portion of the Catechism which is probably the most neglected and ignored portion in the entire Catechism. In part, it's because we pray other prayers than those listed here, particularly the prayer for blessing, although many of us still continue to say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." While we don't pray these perhaps as often as I might like, there's still much that we can learn from this particular portion of the Catechism. For you see, it is here that we see how the gospel, the doctrine of justification, not only revolutionized the way in which people perceived salvation and how it is attained, it also revolutionized the way in which Christian piety and Christian prayer were perceived and practiced. For you see, in the late Middle Ages, Christian piety and prayer had largely been shaped by monastic life. Lay piety and lay prayer were patterned after the monastic prayers. For example, one prayer that comes to us from the Middle Ages in a little catechism, which lay people were encouraged to pray once or twice a day, begins this way for the morning prayer. Upon waking, someone is to pray, "O dear God, how I wasted my precious time. I waste my precious time. How timid and slow I am. How I must burn in purgatory for my sloth. For during the night, all spiritual souls have sung God's praise, and I have overslept. There has been great joy in heaven, and I have given it no thought. There has been great lamentation in purgatory, and I have not prayed for those who groan there. Many have died during the night, and yet God has spared me." Contrast that prayer of introspection, lamentation, and uncertainty with the way in which Luther encourages us to wake in the morning and pray, "Into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things." And he says, "Now go joyfully to work," singing a hymn about the Ten Commandments, or something along those lines. You see, Luther recognized that Christians needed to cultivate a genuine evangelical piety of daily prayer. They needed a pattern for their daily life, a pattern for prayer and reflection upon God's word. When the old forms had been shattered by the gospel, when the contents had been replaced by the gospel, we needed new forms, new patterns in which the gospel could take hold. By overthrowing a two-tier stratification of the Christian life, where one form of life was holier and closer to God than the other form of life, that is, the life in the monastery versus the life in the home and in the family, then we needed new prayers and new patterns. Rather than patterning the Christian life, though, on the practices of the monastic life, the Catechism instead directs us to everyday life. In this way, the gospel can break into our everyday life. And so the prayers and the pattern for reflecting on God's word, the catechism gears toward the rhythms of daily life. All of us have to get up in the morning. All of us go to bed at night. All of us must eat. It's to those rhythms, day in and day out, then, that the catechism encourages us to tie in our prayers and reflection upon the word of God, and this way the gospel and daily life come together. So morning prayer sends us forth to work in joy. Evening prayer sends us to bed in peace, allowing God to worry about tomorrow. We've given everything to his hands. Let him take care of it. And the same thing applies for the prayers at the mealtime. It is also at this point, though, one of the unique features emerges, I think, that is very characteristic of a Lutheran approach to prayer. You notice how each of these prayers, though they were taken from the monastic life, in all likelihood, and adapted by Luther, notice how these prayers are tied to the Word of God. They begin with a word. The asking of blessing begins with a passage taken from Psalm 145 that is also reflected in Psalm 104. Similarly, the prayer for giving thanks is well known to us, coming from Psalm 136 as well as Psalm 147. You see, a Lutheran understanding of prayer is anchored in the Word. It begins with the Word, it is centered in the Word, and it concludes with the Word. Rather than conceiving prayer along the motto of the St. Louis Arts, where we throw up our prayers to heaven and God drops down his answer to us, it is God who initiates prayer with his Word. Rather than prayer being initiated with us, in which case our prayers are most likely to be far and few between, the Catechism encourages us to look to God's command and his promise to pray. He wants to hear from us, and he promises to answer us. Just as importantly, look at the words that we reflect upon just prior to asking a blessing and just prior to giving thanks. These are words that breathe a spirit of faith. The eyes of all look to you. In Job 38-40, in Psalm 104, in Psalm 145, we are shown how God has provided for everything, has organized the world so that all of our needs are provided for. And not only do humans look to God for everything they need, but we're told the lion cubs do so, the ravens do so, and all the other beasts of the field do so. The word given to us just prior to giving thanks is a prayer that confesses perhaps one of the most commonly used creeds throughout the Old Testament. The love of the Lord endures forever. It reminds us of the complete reliability of God, the constancy of his love, the constancy of his provision. It's in response to these prayers that bespeak God's gifts to us that we can then, in confidence, pray for his blessing and give thanks for all that he has done. And so this section, like all the other sections, is centered in and brings the gospel to expression with the goal that you and I might live from faith to faith in the confidence of God's gifts and the confidence of God's goodness. Amen.